language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the show's up. That's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that. He hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
We are the only live, local, and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock with you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the HRP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at PCreighton1, at Jason Braddock, at Late Hitters. Aaron Raybould near the side of the glass, the master controls. Welcome back from vacation, buddy.
You didn't miss anything.
Not at all. My phone wasn't blown up when my plane landed at 11 nice. O'clock
Dude,
Houston time.
Dude, your phone can blow up? I thought only Samsungs did that.
Airplane mode did not save you. When you landed, it just started going off.
Twitter mentions and messages and stuff like that of, hey, you need to go watch this. What the hell? Where were you?
Nice.
He was, you know.
Blame Aaron.
Hashtag going down a mountain somewhere in Colorado having a good old time. At Aaron is Bliss, at ESPN 97.5. So, resetting cultures apparently is a topic here in Houston.
Nice. Okay.
So
I think I see where this is going.
We had to reset a culture here for like 48 hours.
Absolutely. Luckily, we have that Tuesday off day like they have in the NFL.
That didn't suck. It was kind of convenient that we had the Tuesday off day. And I know that.
Yes, I have done my homework today. They've already got jokes on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Get on over there. Have some fun. We tried to tell you the most entertaining things happen on Twitch. Right, Aaron? We tried to tell them. If you missed it, that was on you. But evidently, nobody across the entire nation missed that segment.
That's credit to Josh and our digital team who said it was Josh Innes and Brandon and
Josh did a great job to get this out there.
If we make it to where we can talk during the breaks, it might make it more interesting. We might catch some fire in a bottle. We did.
Well, we caught fire. Hey, that's for sure.
You're welcome, guys.
Might not
you're
have been welcome. Trapped in a bottle, but we definitely caught some fire.
I'm glad I could be your clown for a day or a week. Yeah, we're here for the picking. Yeah, I mean, this, again, let me go ahead and start off, though, seriously, because you do talk about resetting the culture. And first and foremost, all joking aside, we can have fun with this. Come into the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. If you want to join the show, call in or text 713-780-ESPN. That's 713-780-3776. I want to first off offer the most sincere apology to my brother, Patrick Creighton. We got heat in. If y'all have been listening to Late Hits for a while, one of the things we pride ourselves on is the passion for sports talk, going back and forth, but we usually know where to cut it off. For whatever reason, Monday was embarrassing, and I take my share of the blame on that. First and foremost, I want to apologize. I should never call out any man outside of the name, especially somebody I consider a true friend like Patrick Creighton. So I know I can't take it back. It's out of the bottle, but I do want to, in front of all of Houston and anyone else streaming or listening, give my most sincere apology to my brother Patrick Creighton for calling him out his name and letting just a sports segment get so embarrassing, especially in the fourth largest city in the market on the ESPN brand. It's embarrassing, and it's a stench I'll keep with me on my resume with any other mistakes I made in my career. You have my apology for a horrible radio show. But most importantly, P. Creighton, you have my apology for disrespecting you in that manner, sir.
Well, I also offered my apologies to you. You deserve better from me than what you got on Monday. And, you know, I really had no business calling you out of, you know, like being unprepared. I know how hard you work. And a situation where I think just let frustration get the better of me. Never should have done that. Never should have pushed that hard. Just an unfortunate situation. And, you know, we always talk about this is no hold barred sports talk.
Right.
A lot of people say that it's no hold barred or it's unfiltered or
we
uncensored.
Will actually pull out the bar.
We're as real as it gets. You don't get there's no radio persona or personality. Who we are is who we are. And that's what you get. And sometimes, you know, you fight with your brother. Well, my brother and I had a fight on Monday, and we both knew 2 minutes after it happened, we would clear the air the next day, and we did.
I think people are upset that we're not still mad at each other, though.
I think they want us to yell back and forth.
Right.
I think they want you to call me a bitch again. That was popular. That was a good one.
Yeah, I think the two most popular. I've got T-shirt requests for, do the show, bitch, and do your homework. So I think we both got catchphrases out of this. Maybe we make a joint T-shirt so everybody knows it's not a dig at each other.
Put one on the front, one on the back.
Yeah, if we make some money. I mean, we've already got so many people in the city of Houston that's helping us with this free advertisement, just pushing out to the right angles to make sure everybody got the clip. And I want to say thank you to all those people. What's the best way to state this? Foreign and domestic to Gal Media that helped share this information and put it out. Whether you are a coward and did it behind the scenes or if you did it straight up, I appreciate the free advertisement. I want to say thank you to iHeartMedia and those over at Sports Talk 790, KBME. The 10 years I was there, you never put $1 of advertisement behind me. I appreciate y'all putting full force push on this to give us the eyes and the ears, and thank you. I mean, it's odd that now that I'm here at ESPN 97.5, you would give me all this free advertisement, but I do want to say a hat tip to you. Thank you for all the eyes and the ears and free advertisement from my old station. Much appreciated.
I'll have to put shirts together for that. We'll get them up on the Late Hits shop in the next couple of days.
Yeah. I mean, I think people thought that this was going to bury us. Like, people were tweeting, like, are y'all going to do the show on Wednesday? And I'm like, why wouldn't we do the show? Y'all yelled at each other. Yeah, okay. You cursed at him. I cursed at him during the Twitch break. I mean, we kept the worst stuff for the Twitch.
Let's try
to keep it honest.
I'm from New York.
Okay.
If you think that because somebody called me a bitch, I'm going to lose my stuff, I've been called way, way worse. Like, if in this business, if being called a bitch makes you lose your stuff, you're in the wrong business.
Okay.
This is not the business for thin skin or rabbit ears or any of that stuff. We get hot. We say stuff because we're mad and ticked off. We get over it. That's the difference between Jay and I's relationship, where we can be brutally honest with each other and not take it personally, versus other relationships, show partners where, they walk on eggshells. I don't like that you do this, but I'm not going to say anything
right,
because I'm afraid you're going to
get mad.
We're going
to call each other out and get heated and then be cool later. I mean, if you're new to Late Hits, we've been doing this for 13 months. If you're just catching up and it's the only reason you're here is for the clip, welcome in. We appreciate having you as a listener, and we'll get into a lot of content. We got an entire show packed full of guests and great content. And hopefully we can put on a good show for you and put that embarrassment from Monday behind us. But we appreciate all the attention that we got. And on the Twitch, it's like, you guys were big stars on WFAN this morning. Boomer and Gio had a nice little segment about it. And then the last part of this is something I didn't really realize. They said, Creighton, I didn't know you were finalists with John Jastrzemski,
yeah.
Apparently, while all this was going on, everyone's like, oh, this is Pete Creighton. He finished second and third. And how do I not know about this?
I finished second 3 years in a row.
Really?
Yes.
So what is this contest? Is this like all of New York?
So this was like 10 years ago, maybe longer.
Mm-hmm.
WFAN did this thing called Fantasy Phenom, where they were looking for people who wanted to be talk radio hosts, and it was a huge contest.
How long ago?
It's got about 10 years.
Oh, geez. All right.
So basically open casting call, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, you had to show up. It was like three or four different rounds of it, and eventually the finals were held at Bar A down on the Jersey Shore on Mike Francesa's show. And I went 3 years in a row and came in second place 3 years in a row.
Do you remember the guys who are male or female that beat you all 3 years?
The first year.
Long story short, I'm trying to find out, did any of them turn on to have a successful career?
So John Jastrzemski works at WFAN and also works on CBS Sports Radio. Joe Giglio, who won year three, they have like three celebrity judges. Two of the three voted for me, but I somehow still lost.
that doesn't make it. All right, we're going to have to hang in Chad.
I don't have any issue with Joe Giglio. Okay. Joe's a good guy, and he's a good host. And he works at WIP in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And the first year was a guy, Greg. I'm drawing a loss on Greg's name, but I think he's on Sirius Fantasy Sports Channel.
I should know this then because I've actually been on. I used to do a weekend show on Sirius XM Fantasy. Greg, though, is somebody shoot in the Twitch. I guarantee somebody listening knows who it is on the Twitch.
And we'll all those guys, look, they're all talented guys.
Right.
I'm not saying, well, I should have won over that guy because I think that they're all good guys. And I would tell you that there's a reason why all of us are still in the business. You know, we're all good at what we do.
Sure.
So I have no issue with those guys. I don't know how the contest worked, but I came in second 3 years in a row.
All right. Well, you obviously were meant to do it. We're back doing it. Monday show's the thing of the past. We got a lot planned for you tonight. 713-780-ESPN. That's 713-780-3776. That gets you in on the phone line. That gets you in on the text line. You can also interact with the show on social media at PCreighton1, at Jason Braddock, and at Aaron Is Blitz for our producer behind the glass. And lastly, I'm sure you're aware of it now, ESPN 97.5 is not an AM station in a large market. We actually have Twitch and use it. So you go to twitch.tv/ESPN975. What do you have in store for us today?
You know, of course, not only that, but also now on 92.5, if you're out on the west side, you can get us over there as well.
Was it Greg Ambrosius?
No. I'm drawing a blank on his name, and I'll figure it out in the break. Good guy, but he didn't stick around as a regular talk show host for more than a year. He kind of went right into the specific niche fantasy stuff, which he's really good at.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll figure it out during the break. But in the meantime, let's get to the Rockets because, you know, a lot of discussion over whether or not Daryl Morey's job was safe. And I said, listen, Daryl Morey is owed so much money for an owner who has been so sharp with the pencil on avoiding luxury tax. I couldn't see he was going to move on from the GM. We'll hear from Tillman Fertitta on the other side. We'll get into the Rockets. And something a GM in the East said regarding the Rockets and their personnel. We'll get to that as well next. Late hits.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
All right, back here on Late Hits. Before we get back into the show, let me talk to you about something we're all dealing with, and that's wearing a mask these days. But not all masks are made equally, especially when it comes to comfort and protection. I personally recommend the Boomer Naturals mask. It's a three-layer, comfortable, and highly breathable mask. They come in sizes for adults, teens, and children. And speaking of your kids, if your kids are headed back to school, why don't you make them the safest possible and get them protected? Boomer Natural masks are protected with nano silver technology woven into the fabric. Nano silver can block those tiny drops and particles from getting to the nose and mouth, and that gives you that added protection. Boomer also offers the popular nano silver neck gaiters, the mask that covers your neck and face. Another great thing, Boomer donates one face cover for every order to nonprofits and charity. Big news, Boomer Natural Mask are now available in CVS stores. So if you can't wait on the shipping, swing by CVS and pick your mask up today. Of course, you can order online at BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code Braddock and save 20%. That's code Braddock, B-R-A-D-D-O-C-K at BoomerNaturals.com. Get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at BoomerNaturals.com.
You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
Daryl Morey is your GM. He maybe ran into a little trouble about this time last year with some comments about China. Is his job safe?
Daryl Morey's job is safe, and I'm sure he's going to pick the right head coach.
That is Tillman Fertitta, Rockets owner. We could probably say owner of the University of Houston also. I mean, kind of is.
Basically so. Do they have a Fertitta Center over there
they
yet?
They do have a Fertitta Center,
well
actually.
Well played, Tillman.
Pretty much, he is like their biggest benefactor. But Tillman Fertitta had 32 million reasons to keep Daryl Morey as his GM, used every single one of them.
It's something you talked about. One of the reasons probably about a week or so ago when I said this is getting off the rails, it's probably time to blow it up, and you kept talking about the pandemic, everyone having that financial crunch. Even if they want to move on from Daryl Morey, it's probably not the wisest move, especially with Tillman having to battle all of his industries and not just his NBA team.
Yeah, and he already kind of inherited paying for Kevin McHale after right. They gave him an extension and fired him 11 games into it. He inherited that, so probably doesn't want to go through that just quite yet again. Guys being mentioned for Rockets' new head coach, are you buying any of this with Jeff Van Gundy?
I'm not buying the Van Gundy, because if you go do any Google search, Jeff Van Gundy is like that guy that runs for presidency every 4 years, except he only does it with the Houston Rockets and the New York Knicks. Every 4 years, it seems like, with the Rockets. Jeff Van Gundy's the name we keep hearing a lot of. Mike D'Antoni gets the job. Rinse and repeat every four
years. He's Bernie Sanders. He's right up into... I'm out.
I'm good. But that's who Jeff Van Gundy is. I think his name will get run. He'll keep it out there. But I said this with John Gruden as well, and then he finally, inevitably, made the jump back to the NFL with the Raiders. That being said, I still don't think it's Jeff Van Gundy. The guy I personally like, though, is also a guy who was in the running with Mike D'Antoni, and I want to say a finalist, Stephen Silas, Paul Silas' son. This guy has the basketball knowledge. We're also talking about my biggest thing is that if you're going to keep Morey and you keep Harden and you keep Russ and you're going to, quote-unquote, run it back, you need someone that can execute that offense at that type of efficiency and with a similar identity. Well, if you're going to do that and it's not Mike D'Antoni, why don't you go get the guy from the number one offense in the NBA, the Dallas Mavericks, and the guy at the focal point of that, Stephen Silas? That's the guy I like. He almost got the job in 2016. Make it happen in 2020.
Interesting guy, because he certainly has paid his dues and he's earned what would be a head coaching job.
Absolutely.
I do wonder how much of, if you're going to keep the nucleus of the team together, if you're going to keep James and Russ together, do you need a head coach who's either incredibly well-respected like a Mike D'Antoni, mm-hmm. a guy who has won a ring, somebody that you know they're not going to have issues with, or you hope they won't have issues with, because Kevin McHale had plenty of rings as a player and that didn't seem to matter.
Sure.
Do you need to have a coach who's got a big coaching resume that those two guys are going to respect and buy in from day one? Ty Lue is another guy whose name is mentioned.
Sam Cassell.
He's been an sure. assistant. He paid his dues as an assistant. He kind of got the head coaching job because he's LeBron's buddy. He did win a title. But, you know, there were also plenty of video clips of Ty Lue. You know, he's doing the play in the huddle, and then LeBron's like, no, here's what we're going to do. Well, then who's the coach? Is it Ty or is it LeBron? And without LeBron here, how much stroke does Ty Lue actually carry? I have questions about that.
But one of the things, though, with Tyronn Lue, I think that you get, it answers that other question. You probably definitely still have numerous questions surrounding it, but the one thing that it does answers is that you talk about resetting the culture. If you're talking about someone who can reset the culture, how about a guy that was willing to call out LeBron James? And most people aren't. Most people, LeBron coaches the coach. Tyronn Lue, I think, I don't know if audacity is the right word, but he had it in him to call out LeBron James when he needed to be called out in serious games. So he has that. But Tyronn Lue's going to get paid. And with Daryl Morey being... I don't think this was one of the things Tillman's like, yeah, I'm definitely bringing back Daryl Morey. I think it had to do with the money, as you mentioned. And with you worried about money, I don't think you get in a bidding war for a guy like a Tyronn Lue. I don't think you give Sam Cassell the job as a first-time head coach at the NBA level because of those personalities you talked about with Harden, with Russ. It's going to be an interesting dynamic, because you do have to factor in the personalities of Harden. And I think you have to check in and see, hey, Harden, where's your relationship with Russ now? I know y'all were great. great last year, but you and Chris Paul were great for a couple years as well, too.
All right, let's hit the phones real quick. Eric, you're on Late Hits. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing tonight? Yeah, I wouldn't mind having Sam Cassell as a head coach and maybe Rudy T come in and consult. And also, I know why Eric Reed's not being signed. We all know that, and it's a travesty. What about Earl Thomas? I mean, I think the Cowboys should pick him up because they need safety back there. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Where do you want to start on this? You take the Sam Cassell. I'll take the Earl Thomas.
I'm going to say, you know, with Sam Cassell, again, Sam Cassell has paid his dues as an assistant.
That's fair.
He won titles here. I mean, he was huge in the 94 series as a rookie. He killed the Knicks in that series. Is he a guy that has earned the spot? I think he's earned getting a head coaching spot.
Well said.
Coming in here with the big personalities of Harden and Russ, it's going to be a major challenge for a guy who was a very headstrong player. Sam Cassell, underrated player, really good career.
Sure.
But very headstrong player. He was the leader. He was the guy running the show. He now needs to get that out of Russ and James, and I think it's easier to coach Russ hard than it is to coach James hard.
So are you opposed to trading both, either one? Well, I guess probably the more important question is, where do you think Tillman and Daryl Morey sit as of today with James Harden and Russ Westbrook, either collectively or individually?
I think as long as Daryl Morey is here, James Harden is here. That was his guy. That was his big move. That was the move that put him on the map, put the Rockets back, you know, really in the map in the Western Conference. I think that, plus you consider the way James Harden's game is. He doesn't rely on extreme athleticism. He's not a high flyer. His game is skill, guile, and smarts.
Our front, back, and side to side. Get him rocking when he's in ISO.
He's a guy whose game projects to live for a long time. Like, he'll be able to play into his late 30s and still be really effective because he doesn't need to be the fastest guy, the most explosive, or the highest flyer. There was a report out that the general manager from the Eastern Conference said that unless the Rockets get absolutely ridiculously blown away for James Harden, they should not move James Harden. He's still, you know, an elite player, top five player in the league. He said they should move on from Russ Westbrook if they could move on from Russ Westbrook. And look, last year they traded Chris Paul, two firsts, and two swaps to get Russell Westbrook. I don't know that they could get that on the market now, another year later, with the cap potentially being lower.
Well, we've got a couple minutes left in the segment.
You put a few ideas.
Yeah, you've put a couple packages together. And what you're saying about James Harden and Daryl Morey being tied to him, I think we see that with a lot of coaches, a lot of general managers, tied to a player that they selected. They made the big trade. And you want to ride it out until it works so you look right. So I can completely buy into what you're saying about Harden's safe as long as Morey's safe. We know Morey's safe. Now what you're saying about Russ, one of them has to go. You have to start accumulating picks because you're in the desert of being able to accumulate young talent. So even if you bring in a coach that's great at developing talent, who do you have to go with? You look at the Houston Rockets team and the six players that play the most minutes in this Lakers series, Jeff Green. And I'm giving you ages, Creighton, and the listeners, by the end of 2020, Jeff Green, 34 years old. P.J. Tucker, 35 years old. Eric Gordon, 32. Russ Westbrook, 32. James Harden, 31. Rocco, Robert Covington, 31. These guys are, 30. 30 to 35 by the end of this year before the 2021 NBA season, because we've already talked about hearing that it's probably not going to start by Christmas or 2021 at the earliest. That's their age. You have no youth to develop on your roster. You don't have first-round picks coming back. So the Rockets have to try to put a team around Harden if you're going to keep Harden that can win now, but also be able to accumulate some picks back so you'll have something for the future.
Also, if you're going to trade Westbrook, you know you're trading to A, acquire picks, and B, you're probably looking to generate some kind of size.
Sure.
Because whoever the new coach is not going to 6'5 center, I'm good.
Right.
Probably not going to happen.
Right.
So who is going to be desperate to want to make a
deal? Let's run through it real
quick. Last year, the Rockets were desperate. The Clippers were desperate. They gave away big packages. Are the Knicks desperate to be relevant again? I think the answer is yes.
Okay.
So let me pose an idea to you. Julius Randle, Taj Gibson, Dennis Smith Jr., 3 first-round picks for Russell Westbrook going to New York.
This is extreme. I think you're pulling at my heartstrings here because, you know, I was a big Dennis Smith Jr. believer when he first came out in the draft and then his early success in Dallas. But since he got to New York, I don't know if it's just some players can live up to that moment. Like Jeremy Lin, he superseded his ability in that New York limelight.
Thanks, Mike D'Antoni.
Dennis Smith shied away from it. He looked like James Harden and Russ Westbrook running from the basketball in the fourth quarter in the playoffs.
It is tough when you have a new coach every 5 months.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. But the only change, I like the trade. Leave Julius Randle in there. Leave Dennis Smith Jr. If I'm the Rockets, I'm like, I like this deal. 2 first-round picks, Julius Randle, Dennis Smith Jr. I'll give you Russ Westbrook so you have that big market name there to at least sell tickets. But I need Taj Gibson out, and I need Mitchell Robinson in.
Well, Taj Gibson's in the deal
because
you
money.
Need him for the money. But, yeah, if you could go 2 first-round picks and get Mitchell Robinson – that's a heist.
Yeah. Taj Gibson, you're absolutely right. You do have to have the money in there to make it the whole deal works out. What I'm talking about is getting that talent back in there. Whether they want to part with Mitchell Robinson or not, you go from no center, no rim protector to one of the guys that you come around that rim when he's in there. Mitchell Robinson sending it back the other way like a above the rim music video.
So we got a few more of these, but we'll get into them a little bit later on in the show because we're going to talk college football next with our buddy Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel. Before we go to break, let me tell you about our friends over at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. You bet, you win, they pay. They've got the best lines. They've got the most lines. We were looking at stuff, and you can bet on, you know, all the games and stuff. Last week, we saw the Texans were plus 9.5. And I was like, well, how do you feel about the Texans being 9.5? Well, that game wound up being 11. So, I mean, I think I was on the Chiefs at 9.5, but I think if it went to 10, I might have defaulted down to the Texans. And then I would have lost.
They almost got that back door when you're sitting there 31-7 in the fourth quarter.
They had a special where you could take the Chiefs plus 54.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, so, that, I mean, you had it's free money.
They have all kinds of specials that run on where they're basically giving away free money. Go sign up today. Use promo code RADIO, and they'll match your initial deposit dollar for dollar. So put in 100, get 100. Promo code RADIO. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie.ag. It's the clock. My clock told me to promise you're going to squeeze me.
Better let me go today. You need me. ESPN 97.5. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
All right, joining us right now on the HRMP hotline, he covers college football at the Orlando Sentinel. He's the best of the business. So, our buddy Matt Mershell. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you guys doing today?
Dude, we're doing awesome, brother. Appreciate you taking some time to join us today. So, big news today. We are going to have Big Ten football. We weren't, and there were concerns about health and safety, but apparently there are no more concerns about health and safety. How did this reversal of fortune come about for the Big Ten?
Well, I think how it came about was, you know, the fact that over the last, you know, couple months or six weeks, I think we've seen an improvement in the information, medical information that's come out about the coronavirus. You've seen better rapid testing procedures being introduced, approved by the FDA. And I think once the Big Ten presidents and chancellors kind of sat down and saw what was going on and saw what could happen, they decided to move forward and agree upon this. And this is a, like you said, it's a total reversal for their original decision. Their intent was not to play until the spring, but I think they got caught up into the politics and the fans and the coaches and players really clamored to get to return to the field. And once these presidents and chancellors felt like they could move forward safely enough at this moment, they decided to kick things off in October.
Matt, Jason Braddock here with you. And I want to ask you, one of the things I think Creighton and myself have both been most intrigued by this, and why I sided with the Big Ten and the Pac-12 to wait, was because all of those reports that came out about myocarditis. We're talking about a condition that they themselves said is extremely rare, and you're talking about some of the most athletic athletes in their prime, college-age kids that saw a significant uptick. And then since this came out, I think all we've heard mostly from it was the Penn State report, then the school comes back and walks it back from their, I forget his position, Creighton, chief medical advisor or something there at Penn State, somewhere along those lines, and they walk it back. So have they found out the information, to your knowledge, that myocarditis isn't this big of a deal? Or it's just something that they're just finally, hey, financially it makes sense, and because of the new testing, let's just go back to it and we'll figure out the rest when it happens.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think, you know, they've got some more information on it. I know part of the protocols coming back is they're you know, having cardiac screenings for players who test positive for COVID at every school. I guess that wasn't something that every school had had at you know, going into the last, what, 4 or 5 weeks when they made the decision to push to the spring. You're seeing that kind of screening going on right now at the SEC level, ACC, and the rest of the conferences that are playing right now. But that's something the Big Ten wasn't comfortable, I guess, at the time of doing. They've gotten some better information about that. I think through this whole process, I think what happened was the Big Ten tried to step up and be a leader in this and thought, listen, we're not comfortable with what's going on right now. You know, we're looking around the country. This is back in, you know, early August. We're going to go ahead and wait till spring. And then what's happened is, like I said, things have just changed. I think you've seen the way that some of the testing has gone through. You've seen some of the results. You've seen how maybe, you know, players have responded to it. I also think, too, that the Big Ten has looked at how the SEC and ACC and some of these other conferences are handling now that football has been started up and played. And they understand that if they're going to play football, whether it's in the fall or the spring, you're going to have interruptions. You're going to have things that are going to happen. And they figure at this point it just makes more sense to start things up again and maybe handle those things on the fly. And now that they're able to do on a basically a daily testing procedure that can help out with that contact tracing, I think that's going to probably help their push as well. But it's an ambitious push if you think about it, guys, because it's 9 games in 9 weeks. And that doesn't leave any room for any sort of a flare-up or any sort of thing that maybe could cause a postponement in any of those games.
National College football writer with the Orlando Sentinel. He's Matt Mershall with us on the HRMP hotline. Matt, what do you think was a bigger impetus in their reversal? Is it a phone call from the president of the United States, or is it the fact that maybe some university presidents essentially got exposed for making, I guess, not an official vote, but almost what constitutes to a vote without consulting their boards?
Yeah, I don't think it was the president getting involved. Listen, I understand people, you know, that think it became a political thing in a sense in that regard. I don't think so. I think that was always just, I think that was, you know, maybe a way to try to sway some votes in the blue states where these schools are. I don't think that was the case at all. I think, honestly, what it came down to was the fact that you look at some of these, you know, there's been so much dysfunction in the Big Ten through this whole process. And you know, unlike in certain conferences where they've had one unified voice where the commissioner says this is what we're doing and everyone else just says yes, that's what we're doing. In the Big Ten's case, you know, Kevin Warren comes out and says this is what we're doing, and then you have you know, all the other, you know, the presidents and chancellors coming out and throwing everything around, you know, and speaking out and doing their own kind of press conferences, and you're seeing, you know, information that wasn't maybe either, you know, going to be made public become public, and stuff that should have been public wasn't. It's just been misinformation from step to step here, and I think that's kind of, after a while, got to the point where that's why everything built up to this crescendo of having fans and players and coaches so angry with everything going on. I think, you know, in the end, I think the Big Ten just said, you know, we fear this is the best path we can do right now. And in the end, I think also, too, it weakens the Big Ten in a lot of ways. I think we've always felt like the Big Ten was the granddaddy of them all kind of conferences. To go through the way they did to handle this, it really kind of took a big PR hit for that conference. And I think it shows that they're not as solid as a lot of people would think right now. And I think it's something that's going to be interesting to watch over the next couple of years.
Matt, we all heard the Ed Orgeron's comments there. And I'm curious to this, and I don't know if you can answer it or not, but I want to propose it to you. I think the most eye-opening stats when college athletes started returning to their schools and we saw all the positive COVID tests was LSU and Clemson, the two teams that played in last year's national championship game. Now, Ed Orgeron, from that, and the number was so massive of all the LSU players that tested positive, he recently said in some comments that he feels like all his players have already had it. Now, I don't know, again, if you have the answer or if you can speculate on whatnot, but with Ed's comments, it almost seemed like before college football returned, we heard people ask, should players just go all out and get COVID and then come back and play so they don't miss any games during the season? Because there was this thought process that you couldn't test positive twice, which now we know is false. So do you feel like there were some schools that actually leaned into COVID, get the positive test so they can have the clean year? Or have you heard any reports, whether it's LSU or anyone else? Or do you just feel like it's something I'm trying to find out the basis of where Ed Orgeron, speaking of all these players testing positive, comes from, and if that's a positive or a negative?
Well, yeah, I would imagine that any school or any program wanted to lean into to getting their players, you know, having them get sick, you know, or having this to get this disease. I think, you know, what happens is I think there was a mentality of the herd mentality of, you know, everyone gets the disease or the virus, and then once, like you said, we come back, we can, you know, that they won't be able to get it again. And as you said, it's been proven that's not the case, but I think in some cases, I think their coaches just accept the fact that I'm going to have players who are going to test positive for this. I'm going to have players who are going to get sick. I'm going to have players who are going to be missing time. We're going to try to do everything we can to stop that. But, you know, when you've had so many positive tests at some point, I will say this. I don't think it's the smartest thing in the world to come out and say it the way he did, because I think in a way it looks like all you care about is football. All you care about is playing those games. I mean, he wrapped his comments up by saying, you know, hopefully we won't miss any games. I mean, to me, that's not the point through all this. I mean, the point through this is we have a major pandemic going on in our country.
Right.
You're trying to keep everyone as safe as possible. And I understand there's a feeling of moving forward with college football. So I don't think anyone's been trying to, you know, I think they've just accepted the fact that there are players who are going to get sick. They're trying to prevent it as much as they can. But, you know, I've talked to some people who said it's so hard to tell a 19, 20, 21 year old young man, you know, not to be that age, you know, not to go out, you know, at night when you come back from practice and not to go out and have, you know, go to a restaurant or not to go out and hang out with friends. You know, there's never going to be a perfect bubble in this situation, not like the NBA and the MLS. So I think really what coaches are trying to do is just say, listen, we've had this happen. We've had some of these spikes. Let's try to find a way to prevent it as much as we can, but it's difficult. I mean, every team has gone through it, and we've seen the impact of it, and some teams have had it worse than others. And I think LSU early on, I know, had big amount of cases, as did Clemson, and I think you're seeing Texas Tech now. So I think these coaches are just trying to figure out how they can kind of maneuver through this and try to get forward without having, you know, another spike maybe come up that can force maybe cancellation of games.
Matt, you mentioned, you know, how the Big Ten, they wanted to be the leaders in, you know, the safety protocol, and, you know, they were the first, you know, Power Five conference, and, you know, maybe one of the first major conference to come out and say, hey, you know, we're going to hold off right now, worried about the safety of our players. Now they're coming back to play. The Pac-12 followed them initially within like 24 hours. Is the Pac-12 now going to follow them back to the field?
Yeah, it looks like it. I mean, I think the latest we've seen is that, you know, the states, you know, the biggest hurdle for the Pac-12 is the state of California and Oregon. You know, both were, you know, their schools, you know, they weren't ready to get back to practice, you know, because of the high spikes of COVID. Apparently, it looks like now those states are kind of pulling back on that a little bit and trying to make relax some of those regulations and allow maybe football to start up again. And I think all this is pushing forward. I mean, I'm sure if you're the Pac-12 and you see what happened this morning, you're trying to figure out how can we get back on the field. You know, we can't be the only one left behind, especially as we've mentioned before, with the money involved. Obviously, there's a lot of players and programs that are interested in getting back to playing. So I think the Pac-12 is going to push as hard as it can. If they can get through all the health restrictions put in place by the state and at the local levels, and if their presidents and chancellors approve in the medical community approve that, then I think you'll see them try to get back as soon as October as well. I think the interesting thing about the Pac-12, and this is something that wasn't brought up as much, is that, you know, their schools in a lot of cases are still dealing with wildfires that are going on the West Coast, and in some cases there's smoke and it's so bad you can't be out outside exercising or practicing. So it's going to be interesting to see how that maybe will impact when this stuff kicks off and when some of these games are played at as well.
He's the best in the business. Matt Mershell, national college football writer with the Orlando Sentinel, joining us on the HRMP hotline. Follow him on Twitter at OSMattMershell. Matt, lots of great info, brother. Appreciate you taking some time with us. We'll catch up soon, buddy.
No problem. Thanks a lot. Take care. Be safe, guys.
All right. Take care, Matt.
All right. Matt Mershell with the Orlando Sentinel. Breaking down everything going on. It's happening so fast, too, with college
football. It is. I'm still getting alerts right now during the break about late October for the Pac-12 if everything gets approved, as Matt talked about there with all the health regulations they have for the state of California.
So we'll get back to some trade targets for the Rockets. We've got some trade targets for the Texans as well. Coming up next, Late Hits.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
All right, Late Hits, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the HRP Listen Line, on the text line. On Twitter, at PCreighton1, at Jason Braddock, at Aaron is Blitzed. We'll get to some of these other potential Rocket deals we pulled up. And there's a couple of potential Texans targets as well. We'll get to those as well. So we talked about the Knicks one with Julius Randle and Dennis Smith Jr. If they could get Mitchell Robinson, I think that's an absolute home run.
Oh, yeah,
get
absolutely.
Mitchell Robinson.
And then they get somebody to sell tickets and Russ.
And look, the Knicks are such a desperate franchise. They've got the biggest idiot owner in the NBA. That is exactly the kind of team that would be so desperate to be relevant, because Russ would make them relevant.
They'd
make the playoffs.
Yeah, him and R.J. Barrett would also probably lead the league in turnovers as well.
They'd make the playoffs in the East. I mean, remember, you don't have to be .500 to make the playoffs in the East. Russ would probably lose his mind playing on a team that really doesn't have a shot to compete, but that's not our problem. This one, I think, is an interesting one because it involved the Thunder before.
Okay.
Remember the original Paul George deal had Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis going to Indiana in exchange for Paul George, who was in the last year of his deal and could be a free agent at the end of the year and walk away. Oladipo finally blossomed when he got to Indiana, but he also can't sit on the floor. Would you consider Oladipo, Miles Turner, two first-round picks for Russell Westbrook with the Indiana Pacers?
Yeah, I think you've put like five or six trades together. I like that first one if you get Mitchell Robinson in it, but the two I probably like the most, this is one of them. I like Oladipo. I understand the injury concerns, the issues, and it's almost the exact opposite conversation we had with DeAndre Hopkins and Brandon Cooks. You can't send out a guy who's always available for games, and DeAndre Hopkins, who's played 110 out of 100, not only played, started 110 out of 112 games in his career since coming into the league, for Brandon Cooks, who can't stay on the field, can't stay healthy. It's the quad now, it's the concussions. Well, on this, I'm kind of being hypocritical because I'm going to flip those roles, and you're taking a guy in Harden who's always healthy, always on the floor, and you're not shipping out Harden, but you have that type of availability, And then you're bringing in a guy in Oladipo who's always got that injury concern. But I like the potential. I roll the dice on there. You get a big man back in Miles Turner, and then you get the two first-round picks. This is one of the top two deals that you put together.
Which was the other deal that you liked? Which team?
New Orleans Pelicans.
Okay, so the Pelicans deal was Jrue Holiday, J.J. Redick, and a pair of picks for Russell Westbrook.
You get that defender. And Jrue Holiday, you get another defender. He can also dominate the ball if you need to. But most time, he's going to slide to that two guard if this trade goes down and James Harden returns. James stays that ball dominant point guard that's always got his hand. Jrue Holiday, you up your defense. And depending on what coach comes in here, you might be looking to improve that defense anywhere, especially if you're staying small ball. Jrue Holiday is one of those undersized guys that can battle, can give you defense. Marcus Smart's another one of those guys. So Jrue Holiday. And then one of the things most people in this city bang on about the Rockets offense is how you're going to host more three-pointers than anyone else, and you don't have special three-point shooters. Get a guy like J.J. Redick, who's obviously a little long in the tooth, but he's a three-point specialist. I like this deal. And then, like you said, you also get the first-round picks in there, too, to start adding some youth movements to the Rockets.
I think any deal they do for Westbrook, they've got to get at least two firsts in. They don't have a first this year. They don't have a first the following year. Then they've got two firsts in a row before they don't have their pick, or they're at the mercy of the Thunder for a swap for a long time. This was another deal because a lot of talk about the Bucks trying to find another star to pair with Giannis.
Right.
And I thought Chris Middleton probably should have been on one of the NBA all-pro teams, but the all-NBA teams, he actually got more votes than a bunch of players because his votes were split between positions.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of got frozen out, which was kind of trashy. But I think they need somebody at the guard position who can really be a difference maker. The thought was it was going to be Chris Paul. They were going to go after Chris Paul, but now that seems to be cooling off.
Right.
Could they then turn and look at going at Russell Westbrook, who's younger than Chris Paul, more athletic, more dynamic player?
I mean, you're talking a starting lineup with Middleton, Giannis, and Russ. I mean, For the Bucks, I like it in the regular season. When you get to the postseason, you're still going to have the problem with no closer in Giannis, Russ, or Middleton.
Well, but you're hoping Giannis is going to develop into that guy, and maybe with a guy like Russ, who
teammates love him,
he's going to be ball dominant,
right?
But he's a guy you absolutely have to account for because he plays at 100 miles an hour. And on the Bucks, who already play at the fastest pace in the league,
great point.
He's a perfect fit. Chris Paul would make them slow down.
You're absolutely right.
He made the Rockets slow down to the point where they went from top three pace to bottom three pace.
And then you bring Russ back in and you shoot back up in pace. So that's where Russ made sense on paper, especially when you shift everything to small ball. But the funny thing is that the Rockets, if they trade Russ away, the irony in all of this, if they trade Russ away, why did they go to small ball, Creighton? To open the lane up for Russ. So when Harden's ball dominant, he's got the ball. The lane spaced out as the opposing team's five is out on the perimeter covering P.J. Tucker on the corner threes that he's so deadly at. And it leaves Russ off ball to slash to the lane. And I'll be honest with you, LeBron punked him in game one to where I think LeBron studied film on Russ and said, listen, y'all take out Harden, rest of the team. I'm going to shut Russ down and take his heart. I'm going to take his will. He knows Russ gets there and puts that pretty finger roll up, hangs it up there, and LeBron just came behind him play after play and just ate his lunch, threw it off the glass, threw it out of bounds to where Russ, people were questioning. Harden's there at the three, the double team comes, Russ is standing wide open at the three, and everyone's like, why don't he attack? That's part of the offense. When you're off ball and nobody's covering you, got 15 feet to the lane with only one defender in there, you slash and take it. The reason why nobody wanted to state it, because LeBron took his heart. He didn't want to go to the hole and be embarrassed again by LeBron slapping a shot all over the court.
So the proposed deal would be Eric Bledsoe,
right,
who they're kind of looking to move anyway. George Hill,
mm-hmm.
Brooke Lopez,
mm-hmm.
Dante DiVincenzo.
I like that kid a lot.
And a pair of firsts.
Yeah. I mean, you get your first round pick. You get a kid, a young developmental kid in Dante that I really like. He's basically, to me, he's the better looking twin of Delonte West. So I don't know if Harden has to worry about DiVincenzo sleeping with his mom or anything, but he's a better looking version of Delonte West. I think they're twins. Brooke Lopez, you get that center back. You get Eric Bledsoe. Again, the Drew Holiday comparison where you get that defender, but in the playoffs, he disappears offensively. So I like a lot of the fits here. You also mentioned George Hill, give you another depth guy off of the bench as well. Mike D'Antoni's gone, so you're probably expecting more of an 8-9-man rotation instead of a 7-8-man rotation, or like the Lakers series, basically six guys playing 35-minute-plus. So, yeah, I like it. Makes a lot of sense. I like the Pacers trade and the Pelicans trade a little bit more. And for the Bucks on their end of it, I would be concerned about bringing another big salary like Russ to add to Middleton and Giannis and still not have closers.
All right, we'll get to some potential trade targets for the Texans on the other side. But first, got to tell you about mybookie.ag. Have you checked out the lines? Have you looked at them? Right now, the Colts are 3-point favorites over the Vikings. I know that game's in Indianapolis. I love the Vikings in that game. I know the Vikings can't cover anybody, but I don't trust the Colts to close out anyone. They couldn't close out the Jags. So I like Minnesota getting 3. I think that's pretty good. Have you seen the Giants and the Bears? The Giants are getting 5.5 on the road. Do we trust Mitchell Trubisky to go and get it done again, this time at home against another team that's kind of iffy? And then you got the Cardinals, 6.5-point favorites over the Washington football team. By the way, Texans are getting 7 this week. Whole bunch of lines out there. Go get it. Sign up today.
17?
Use promo code RADIO. Get double your deposit. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie.ag.
Have fun with me. These girls ain't really no good for me. Yeah. Da, da, da,
da, da, da, da. ESPN 97.5.